my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. You do not want to miss the women's conference. It's going to be, man, it's going to be good. I'm excited. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And I'm on the wrong lesson. Let me go to the right lesson. Amen. I started teaching some of y'all. Be like, Pastor, you just taught that 2 weeks ago. Amen. people probably wouldn't say it when they leave church and they get together. Yeah, he taught that 2 weeks ago. A lot of Christians do. Amen. Look, you know how we do. Where did I tell you to go? See, that's because I was looking at my old notes. See, go to Exodus. I told you I was looking at the wrong lesson. Exodus. I'm just fired up this morning. Amen. I'm fired up. I tell you what, if you come in here and you feel like you're a little tired and overburdened, I tell you, man, when that praise team start praising, whew, if you don't wake up from that, whew, you need to stop taking those sleep X's or whatever. Y'all take it to go to sleep. Woo. They fire me up every time. Exodus chapter 33. There's power in praise and worship. Verse 15 says, Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with us, don't send us up there. And the Bible says here in verse number 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And verse 19 says, and God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Amen. This is part two of a message we started last week called Mercy and Redemption. This is the second part of the message. For those of you who are not here, don't worry. I'm going to bring you up to date where we are. But we found out here in chapter 32, you know, Moses was up in the mountain, you know, spending time with God. And the children of Israel became impatient because according to them, they said Moses is staying there too long, you know. And so because of their impatience, they talked to Aaron into allowing them to build a golden calf. Are y'all still with me? Amen. They built a golden calf. And when they built this calf, how many of you know they had a party? And it wasn't a Holy Ghost party. It was a worldly party. And the Bible tells us they were dancing and singing and doing all kinds of things. And then when Moses came down, Moses saw what they were doing, and Moses was disappointed. Amen. But how many of you know more important than Moses being disappointed? God was disappointed. Amen. God was so disappointed, he told Moses, he said, listen, I'm going to go ahead and let you all go ahead and get the land of Canaan that I promised through Abraham. He said, but I'm not going to go with you. He said, because if I go with you, I will consume you along the way. And he also told Moses, listen, as a matter of fact, I need you to go talk to the children of Israel, tell them to take off those garments, because I'm getting ready to consume them right now. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And Moses interceded for them. Yeah, Moses interceded for them. Now, when we think about that, you know, we can ask ourselves the question, I mean, why was God so angry with them? I mean, all they did was just build a golden calf. You know, so why was he so angry? Well, it's not so much of them building the calf. They were worshiping the calf. And how many of you know that God is very serious about worship? Amen? He is very serious about who we worship because, as I mentioned to you this morning doing praise and worship, God created us to worship. Okay? Worship is something that is a part of us. And I mentioned this morning that it's a part of our DNA because God created us to do that. I've mentioned John 4:24 when Jesus said the true worshipers must worship the Father. And he must worship the Father in spirit and in truth because the only way that we can worship the Father is in spirit and in truth. If we're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth, we're not really worshiping him. Are you all still with me? Very serious about worship. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, you know, Jesus told him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, okay? So God is very serious about worship and who we are worshiping. We know there's another verse in the Bible that says, that the Bible says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, okay? In other words, God is telling us we should not worship anything else except him. He is very serious about worship. Are you all still with me? In Revelation chapter 22, you know, when the angel was showing John on the island of Patmos, he was showing John some things, you know, and John was so excited. And John, the Bible tells us that John fell down on his knees to worship. You know what the angel said? He said, oh, no, don't do that. He told John, no, don't do that. Oh, no, don't worship me. You need to worship God. Because worship belongs to God. I mean, I can say, no, John, get up, don't worship me. Are y'all still with me? You know, in Acts chapter 12, I just want you to see why God was so upset. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible tells us around the 22nd verse, the Bible tells us before that, the Bible says that Herod had killed James, and they were looking for Peter to kill Peter. Amen. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible tells us that Herod put on his best clothes, his royal garments, and he gave a speech to the people, you know. And the people were so moved by his speech. And the people said, wow, man, he is a god. There's no way a man can talk like that. And instead of Herod, because instead of him getting them straight, he sit there and accepted their worship. See, you have to be careful when people give you compliments. They're not worshiping you. But when they say you do a good job, you can't let your head get too big. Are y'all still with me? Because God is very serious about who we worship. Well, anyway, the Bible says that Herod would not give God the glory. He took the glory. And don't you know the Bible says the angel came down and smote him, the King James Version. And he became sick. And the Bible says the worms came and started eating him. And he died. And listen, I'm not talking about something that happened in the old covenant. I'm talking about something that happened in the new covenant. Are y'all still with me? So God is very serious about worship. That's why worship belongs to God and to God only. So back to the children of Israel. They're having a party. Not a Holy Ghost party. I mean, they're having a good time. And God says, listen, because I promised Abraham the land, I'm going to let them have the land, but I'm not going with them. Moses said, God, please go with us. If your presence don't go, don't send us there. So Moses interceded for the people. How many of you know that sometimes we need to intercede? Judging people, trying to tell them down, we need to intercede for the people. Are you all still with me? So the Bible says that Moses interceded for the people. Amen. And then the Bible says in verse number 18, once again, the Bible says, go to verse 14. God says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then once again in verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Do you all see that? How many of you know that God has extended his mercy towards us? Amen? Because just like the children of Israel, I believe that sometimes we in this world and as Christians, sometimes we go against the word of God. Sometimes we do things that God tells us not to do. God called them stiff-necked people or stubborn people. Sometimes we do that. And how many of you know that if it wasn't for God's mercy, we might not be here right now? Are y'all still with me? We might not be here right now. But God, just like the children of Israel, had an intercession. God showed his mercy to us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. That's an act of mercy, okay? Because God wanted us to have a chance in this world. You know, God sent Jesus, and I mentioned last week, so we could be reunited back to God. Amen? Y'all still with me? Amen. So Jesus came down to be the intercessor for our intercessor, you know, between us and the Father. Are y'all still with me? He is the intercessor. And how many of you know that Jesus Christ intercedes for us on a daily basis? Well, Pastor, you know, I know Jesus died on the cross for me, but why does his blood washes my sin away? But why is it that he have to intercede for me every day? Every day. Every day. Well, I'll tell you why. The reason why Jesus has to intercede for us every day is because of what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Well, Pastor, what does the Bible tell us in Revelation chapter 12? Well, how many of you know? I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 12. Are y'all still with me? Revelation chapter 12. I mean, Jesus loves us so much that he intercedes for us every day. Every day. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. Because one thing that we can never do as Christians is that we have an enemy. And how many of you know you cannot see that enemy with the naked eye? And how many of you know that the enemy that we cannot see with the naked eye does not walk around with a red tail and a pitchfork and horns? Are y'all still with me? You know, when I was young, every time they talk about the devil, I would think about somebody in red with horns and a pitchfork, because that's what the kind of commercials they had on TV. How many know sometimes TVs tell lies? Are y'all still with me? He is a spirit. And he is always trying to accuse us of something before God. Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12. This is when John was on the island of Patmos. And he had a revelation. It says in verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, the accuser of the brethren." Do y'all see that? The accuser of the brethren. How many know one of the names for Satan is the accuser of the brethren? The Bible said the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God only at noontime. Every now and then. He said he accused them before our God day and night. God, what about Job? If you remove the hedge from around him, he'll curse you to your face. Are y'all still with me? He accuses us day and night, and for that reason, Jesus Christ has to intercede for us on a daily basis. Are y'all still with me? And right now, he is making intercession for you and for me. Just for the sake of those who were not here, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, just for the sake of last week. I know we looked at this last week, but I want to go there again. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that Jesus is making intercession for you and for me right now. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See, people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's why it's very important that for us to know what's going on here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I want you to go all the way over to verse number 30. The Bible says here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Am I going too fast? Amen. I'm in no hurry. Say, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. The Bible became alive to me when I saw words called us and our, and I replaced them words to put my name there to make it personal. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for Ron, put your name there, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for, put your name there. I put my name there. Also maketh intercession for Ron. Are y'all still with me? He is interceding for us on a daily basis. In other words, he is speaking to God on our behalf. Because God loves us. Because he realizes what Satan is trying to do to us. So Jesus has already paid the price for us with his blood, but he is still interceding for us on a daily basis. Are y'all still with me? And not only is he interceding for us right now, he died on the cross for us so that we could be redeemed. How many know the word redeemed means to be set free? The Bible says, who the Son shall make free is free indeed. Are y'all still with me? He redeemed us. In other words, he freed us by paying a ransom so we could be released from spiritual captivity. Well, Pastor, what kind of captivity were we in? Well, we were in captivity to sin. Another way I like to say it is Satan. We had the sin nature or the Satan nature, and Jesus Christ paid a ransom for us. He gave himself for us. He died on the cross. That's why the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said we were paid with a price. How many of you know Jesus did an act of mercy for us? Because if it wasn't for God showing us mercy by sending Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus showing us mercy by dying on the cross for us, for paying the ransom for us, then where would we be? Are you all still with me? We're talking about mercy and redemption. Where would we be? Are y'all still with me? Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, we're not going to go there, but the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I told you last week that a lot of people are confused. A lot of Christians are confused because they do not know whether they are saved by grace or they are sinners. Because they'll say, well, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Well, make up your mind. You can't be a sinner and saved by grace. Either you are saved by grace or you are a sinner. Well, Pastor, we all sin. Well, I never said we don't sin. I never said that. Because we all do mess up from time to time because we are not perfect. We are not Jesus. But that doesn't mean you are a sinner. A sinner is a person who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But see, not only should we thank God for his mercy, we should always also thank him for his grace. Because grace and mercy always travel together, just like goodness and mercy. Grace and mercy and goodness, God's goodness, they all hang out together. You ever had any friends you just hang out with all the time? Think about grace, goodness, and mercy. They're hanging out all together. And guess what? The Bible tells us that wherever you go, goodness and mercy is following. I mean, isn't that something? I mean, no matter where you go, you can't get away from goodness and mercy. You better have goodness and mercy. You know, you're trying to hide from goodness and mercy. They're right there. Nobody's going to see me. Goodness and mercy see you. Are y'all still with me? I mean, what a mighty God we serve. You can't get away from goodness and mercy. It follows you. And I hate people following me, but guess what? Goodness and mercy say, hey, I don't care. Because goodness and mercy is going to always obey God. Are y'all still with me? Last week we left off in Ephesians chapter 2. Was it chapter 2? Do y'all remember? And I want to go back there. I just wanted to catch everybody up. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. I don't know y'all don't remember, but I remember. Amen. We've been redeemed. God's redemption is given to us. I told you last week that the redemption is an extension of mercy. Do y'all remember that? Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible tells us a lot here in this verse. And we went through it last week when I was closing, and I told you this week that I was going to go back to it and slow down with it. Because there's some things here that we need to know as Christians. Why? Because of God's mercy and redemption. The Bible tells us, first of all, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says you've been made alive. In other words, the Bible says we're not dead to sins anymore. We are not the same people who we used to be before we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yeah, I know when we look in the mirror, we see the same person. But see, that's the reason why people do not grow spiritually, because they think they're the same. But the Bible says you've been born again. The Bible says old things are passed away, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 5:17. But what the Bible is talking about, it's not, you know, if your eyes were brown before you got saved, they probably still brown. Y'all still with me? If your chin was a certain, you know, length, it's probably still the same way. But all things in the spirit, that's what it's talking about. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. It's talking about all things in the spirit. In other words, you're not the same person. You may do some of the same things that you did, but you're not the same person. You've been born again. So that's what verse 1 is talking about. It said he has quickened or made you alive who were dead in trespasses and what? Sins. Well, that qualifies to what I said earlier. You're not a sinner. You might mess up sometimes. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. It says, wherein in time past, verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. Before you got saved. People out there right now who are not saved, they think they're having a good time. Notice, I didn't say good times to follow you all day. I said goodness and mercy. People are having a good time, and then when it's all over, they're going to wish they had allowed their good time to be replaced with goodness and mercy. See, the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh. Notice what the Bible say. It didn't say the spirit that used to work. It said the spirit that what? Now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Satan is still at work. He's still there. But once again, we're not going to see him with a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork. He is still working. Why do we think the Bible say God never sleeps nor slumbers? He stays awake. Because, see, staying awake is a sign of being alert. How many know sometimes Christians go to sleep spiritually? And that's what Satan sneak up on us. You see, you're nodding. In other words, he see you nodding from studying the word. He see you nodding from prayer. You used to pray two times a week. Now you only pray one day. He see you nodding. He see you getting away. When I say you, I'm talking about me also, because how many know the word is for me also? He see us getting away from the way we were going when we first said, I love Jesus. He's number one in my life. And all of a sudden, we see things in this world that starts to, where we used to say, Jesus is number one in my life. 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 I call it nodding. That's why God stays awake. That's why the Holy Spirit tries to get our attention. Say, listen. Where's the fire that you used to have? Y'all still with me? We get wrapped up in the things of the world instead of the things of God. Christians, I'm just trying to help us. See, the word of God is true. You already told me that this morning. You say you believe what it says you are, you can do what it says you can do. I said the same thing, didn't I? But Satan is still at work. And we all know that many of us know that he's working to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Not just physically, but spiritually, mentally. Because he wants to get control of the mind. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says in verse 3, among whom also we had our what? Conversation. In times past. Paul is talking to Christians here. He said, we had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of as others. I like where I say, among also we had our conversation in time past. How many of those, a lot of people still talking the way they talked before they got saved? Gossiping, backbiting, starting trouble. The same one. The same one that said, I've been born again. Church tradition. Doing the same thing. Somebody say, thank God for grace and mercy. You know, I told you all this before. I'm going to make it very, very quick. Some of you, I haven't told this. But, you know, when I was young and growing up, I was in an environment where, you know, there was a lot of alcohol, drinking and stuff. You know, in my house, they drunk, you know, every day they get a bottle of gin and, you know, coke, you know, whatever. Amen. So I grew up around people, you know, they just, you know, like cursing was their primary language. People just cursed all the time. So what did I start doing? I started cursing all the time. I could curse, man. I'm talking about I had a master's degree in cursing. That's part of my natural language. That's just what I did. After a while it just flows out easy, you know. You know, for a person who first started cursing, you know, they can't curse. Like, man, no, you used the wrong word. But y'all know y'all been there. Amen. But the more you do it, you start perfecting it. I mean, I could have got a job in college teaching cursing. Are y'all still with me? I'm just telling you where God brought me from. And listen, there was this a friend of mine, his mother, you know, we used to play ball or softball or baseball or football on this field, this fence like right behind us. There was a house right there, my friend's mother. And I remember one day she was out, I didn't see her at first, she was out hanging clothes on the clothesline. And I was at bat, getting ready to bat. And I was like, yeah, you throw that ball, you know, I had some words in there. And listen, she knew my mother. My mother's name was Pearl. And she said, is that Pearl's boy up there with all that cussing? How many of you know I was so embarrassed? So embarrassed. I said, Lord, you got to help me. And he helped me. And the same lady, I saw her when I went home because she's a friend of mine's mother. And I reminded her of the impact that she had on my life. I said, when you said that to me, that helped me so much. What am I trying to get you to see? How many know God will put people in your path to help you? He helped me. He showed me mercy. He could have took me out right there because I was speaking language that was not of his. But because of his grace and mercy, he put someone in my path to help me. If it wasn't for her, who knows? I might not even be here today. See, I was dozing off, and she woke me up. Amen? But I'm not the same anymore. And guess what? You're not the same. That's why we can't talk the same way we used to talk. The Bible says in the past, we had our conversation. We can't keep talking the same way. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm going to pick this up a little bit. Look at the Bible says here. It says, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the battleground for Satan, and were by nature the children of wrath, were by nature. That's before we got saved. But how many know when you got saved, you're not a child of, a child of wrath anymore. Now you're a child of God. But a lot of people say, well, we are all God's children. Christians, listen, contrary to unpopular belief, that's not true. Pastor Ron, I'm not coming back. No. Listen, Jesus confirmed that. In John 8:44, I've said this before, he told the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. The only way we become a children of God is that we have to accept him as Lord and Savior. Now listen to this, we all are God's creation. Don't get it twisted. We're his creation. But we have to make the choice to become a child of God. How do we become a children of God? By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what Jesus did for us. He helped us to get back into the family. Why do you think when Adam and Eve sinned, God put them out of the garden? Because God, he hates sin. He loved them, but he hates sin. But because of his mercy, he sent Jesus. So now we are not, if we have accepted Jesus Christ, if you haven't, you can accept him today. But he says, now that we have accepted Jesus, when we were natures, and we were by nature the children of wrath, like other people, verse 4 says, but who? God. I say mercy. God. Who is rich in what? That means he never run out. That means that it doesn't matter how much mercy you need, God can provide it. Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs, Philippians 4:19. And listen, it doesn't matter how much you need, God can provide it. Look, he can give some to Earlene. He can give some to Elder Payton. He can even give some to Minister Terry. And still have enough to go around for you and for me. Why? Because the Bible says here that he's rich in it. How many of you know some rich people are stingy? They're like the rich man that had all that stuff. He said, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to build a barn and put it in my barn. But God is rich in mercy. Listen, for his great what? Notice what the Bible, now I don't know what translation you have, but King James said, for his what? Great love. It didn't even say his love. It said his great love, wherewith he did what? Loved us. Even when we were not saved. Even when we were not saved. King James says, even when we were what? Dead in what? Sins. Christians, that's what being born again is all about. You were dead once. I was dead once. Yeah, yeah, you were still walking around, but you were dead in sins. And we had to be born again. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. The reason why we have to be born again is because we was dead in sin. See, scripture is, that's power in scripture. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I be born again in my mother's womb? No, see, he's thinking naturally. No, no, no. It's a spiritual birth. You must be born again because we were dead in sins. See, so that means you're not the same person who you used to be. You can't be. So the Bible says, once again, who was dead in sin hath made us alive, that word quickened me, made alive, has made us, quickened us together with who? With who? Mercy. Mercy and redemption. We are made alive together with Christ. And the only way that we could be made alive again was through Christ. Why? Because Christ paid the ransom to release us from captivity. Are y'all still with me? Through Christ. And look what the Bible says. By what? Grace. How many know grace is favor? By grace, please, God. Listen, I don't know God. What's faith? God's mercy, favor. Listen, people say it so nonchalantly. I mean, God gives us favor. Favor. Sometimes people get a job, people are like, well, the only reason why they gave it to them because they know them. No, 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 no. Listen, maybe they're spending time with God. I mean, maybe they're spending time with God. And he's giving them favor. Listen, I share stories. But listen to this. See, this is what we do as Christians. We always find somebody in the Bible that God bless. Listen, God blessing us too. Listen, many years ago, I was not bragging, just letting you know how God operates. Listen, many years ago, I was a instructor at the Sergeant's Major Academy. And at the Sergeant's Major Academy, to teach there, you're required to have a master's degree. How many of you know, during that time, I was an instructor at the Sergeant Major Academy, I had an associate's degree. I'm just telling you how God operates. And listen to this. They were getting ready for someone else to take over the contract. And the new person was going to take over, you know, and they told us, they said, everybody who's here must have a master's degree. And I remember we had a meeting, I'm telling you about mercy, grace. We had a meeting at the round table. Y'all still with me? All the sergeants, majors, I mean, all the instructors down there in the academy and the commandant, all these people, they were talking about, the contract is trying to get this contract, and they want to make sure everyone has a master's degree. And I'm sitting at the table. And the senior instructor, he said, Mr. Wallen, they call you Mr., they call me Ron, but anyway. Mr. Wallen said, I have two master's degrees. He said, I can give you one of mine. You know what I said? That's okay. In other words, I said, I don't need no doctor. I need the man who got all the power in his hand. His name is Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you know that now during that time I was family because I was working at 3 Corps as a contractor and the job ended and I was like and people were like, oh, what you gonna do? And then I received a call and I worked for this contract. They said, how would you like to go teach at the Sergeant Major's Academy? I said, oh, that'd be great. Now I was separated from my family for a year. Sometimes you gotta make sacrifices. Now I'm not saying go stay away from your family for 15 years. That's not what I'm talking about. Been deployed for 20 years and then come home trying to run things, but you need to run yourself right back over there where you were. Are y'all still with me? Especially men, we do that. You know, the woman, she's home with the kids, the family, the food, and we want to come back. Now, that's the way it's got to be. No, buddy, you need to get out of here. I'm not trying to cause any family problems. Amen. But listen. So, needless to say, I kept teaching there. I kept teaching with an associate degree. It didn't bother me. Because I know God would always open doors. And I stayed there for a year because within that year, somebody say grace and mercy. God opened up another slot for me to go right back to Three Core where I had left. See, I'm talking about a person who's alive. See, we like to find stories, and David did this. No. You need to share what God is doing in your life. That way, people who know you, people here, they can relate. You know, there are names in the Bible we can't even pronounce. Nobody can relate to those people. But when you tell people what God is doing for you, y'all still with me? Let them know what you were going through, and now see how God blessed you. Then they can say, well, wait a minute. Look, what must I do to be saved? But we don't want to say anything. A lot of us don't even want people to know we're Christians. And when we get around them, we want to act like they're acting so they won't know. Because they may ask me a question, I don't know. No, just tell them that Jesus loved them. That's good enough. Are y'all still with me? Where are we? Amen. See, I'm going some places this morning I didn't even expect to go. But somebody say, but God. Are you still at 2 Corinthians? I just want to make sure you're not gnawing on me. Amen. Look what the Bible says here. It says, we are, by grace are you saved. And about verse 6 says, and hath raised us up where? Together. And made us sit together where? In who? Made us sit where? Spiritually. In Christ. In Him, we live, we move, we have our being in Him. And then the Bible says, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith is something that hangs out with grace. Mercy and goodness. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should brag about it. See, if we could save ourselves, we'd be bragging. Yeah, but I was lost, but I saved myself. And we would want people to look up to us. Guess what happened to Harold? In his garments, he killed James. Now he's trying to find Peter. I'm going to take care of him too. Then he gives this speech to those people. I was going to say dumb people, but I didn't want to say that, amen. People, and they're like, oh, way to go, Harold. Woo-hoo. He sounds like a god. He, you know, you can read it yourself. It's in Acts chapter 22. He sounds like a god, not a man. And Harold probably was like, yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, worship belongs to who? To God. I bet them worms started saying, thank you, God. We hungry anyway. The Bible says the worms started eating on him. And he died. What am I trying to get you to see? We saw the verse in Exodus. God said, I will show mercy to whom I will show what? Mercy. How many of you know because Harold wanted to receive what God should be receiving, worship, God didn't show any mercy on him. And listen, he does not have to show mercy on us. Because he's God. He said it. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Y'all read that, right? So we can't take God for granted. And as I mentioned to you, with emphasis, that happened under the new covenant with King Herod. That wasn't the old covenant. You know, people used to say, ain't no God in the Old Testament, he didn't play. Well, no, God doesn't play, period. You hear people say that? Oh, in the Old Testament, he didn't play. No, God is God. He's the same God. Yesterday, today, forever. But one thing we have that they didn't have. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's an act of mercy. God said, listen, these people, I'm just paraphrasing. Jesus, I know you finished. Jesus said, I finished my course on the earth. But for these people, I need to send back another comforter. Thank God for mercy. So I can lead them and guide them into all truth. So I tell you what, goodness and mercy, you follow them to make sure, and I'm going to lead them. But sometimes we're like, goodness and mercy, let me see if I can get away. We can get away from God, but we can't get away from goodness and mercy. Because they're still trying to get our attention. You have to see this from a spiritual point of view. You can't see it from a natural point of view. It's spiritual. Are y'all still with me? By grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, lest anyone shall brag about it. I did it. People pray to God about things where they need help, and God bless them, and then they try to take credit for it. How did you do that? Oh, you know, I just kind of just kept working on it. No, you didn't keep working on it. You asked God. We try to take credit for what God is doing. How you say, oh, you can do it. All I did was, they never mentioned that I prayed to God. Because in many cases, they are ashamed of him. And God says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll be gracious to who I should be gracious. And I'm telling you what, I'm glad Jesus is interceding for me. I make mistakes sometimes. And it wasn't for Jesus who's interceding for me. When Satan goes and says, God, see, I told you, Ron. You see, you got him passing up there. He do it. Jesus be like, the blood. The blood. The blood. Amen? God's grace, God's mercy endureth for how long? Go to the 107 Psalm. He never runs out. He has enough to go around. Is this word helping anybody? You know, that song that the praise team sings sometimes. I mentioned it last week. You know, the song, I could have been dead, but he's better than good to me. Could have lost my mind, but he's better than good to me. He's better than good. So Moses, my goodness will follow you. Are y'all still with me? Are you at the 107 Psalm? Amen, amen, amen. Look at verse number 1. 11 minutes and 42 seconds left. Oh, that went to the time. Look, they say when you're having a good time, time flies, don't it? Look at verse 1 in the 107 Psalm. It said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's a song. We've seen that song sometime, right? The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. That's a song. That's where they got the song from. Did you all know that? Don't you know that a lot of Christian songs, they got the word? Did you know that? I'm like, oh, yes. Some people might not know that. They just be singing the song because it's on the screen. She want to fight or something like that. Yeah, I knew that. You're talking about Pastor. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth for how long? And then it says what? Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Well, won't y'all say so then? Listen, isn't that a song too? Let the redeemed of the Lord. I'm telling you, people sing songs, they don't even think it's a word. The song we sing, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lord. That's a scripture in Revelation. Did you all know that? We started doing some research on these songs we sing. Because it's the word. And the Bible says faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? That's why we can't just sing it for a song. It's a confession. Anyway, somebody just learned something today. It's good. That's what the word of knowledge is all about. The Bible says people destroy for lack of knowledge. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the what? Enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the what? South. Remember a few weeks ago I told you all that we are covered with a 360 degrees. God is protecting us from every angle. That's why Satan can't do anything. He says, they wandered in the wilderness, King David says, they wandered in the wilderness in a way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then the Bible says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he did what? Delivered them out of their what? Distresses. Mercy. Mercy in action. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go over to 2 Samuel, because I mentioned this to you last week, but I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Amen. 2 Samuel, because this is another act of mercy. Another act of mercy. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Amen. I'm almost done. Y'all just hang in there with me. Hang with me. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And when you get there, say amen. 2 Samuel. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we find a situation where David did something that he should not have done. He wanted to count the soldiers. Are y'all still with me? He wanted to count them. Now, when you look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, you will see in verse number 1, it says, and the anchor, are y'all there yet? Amen. Now you know, as you turn in your pages, you know, that time don't count for me, you know. Amen. It says in 2 Samuel 24, verse 1 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Okay. So God was upset with him because he did that. Okay. Once again, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, when you read that, you would think that God told him to do it, and then God was upset with him about it. You know that's what it would see. But that's why we have to study the Word of God. Because if you go to 1 Chronicles, and I don't want you to go there for the sake of time, but I just want to read this to you, because this is talking about the same thing. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, it says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to count, or to number Israel, or to count the army, count the people. Okay, so you know, if you're not careful, you will be confused. That's why you have to study the Bible. Now, years ago, I knew this guy who, you know, he's a Muslim, and against him, people can choose whatever they want, you know. And he and I, when I was a young Christian, always like to debate with people. Of course, I don't do that anymore. You don't need to do that. But I used to debate with them. You know how we sometimes try to make people get saved, and we try to make them come to church and try to make them do stuff because, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that anyway. Well, that's the way I was when I was younger, didn't know any better. And I used to debate with this guy because this guy told me, he said, I used to be a Christian. He said, but the Bible don't make sense. He said, because I can read one verse, it said there was 20,000 horses. And then I go to another chapter, they say 40,000 horses. He said, so it's contradicted itself. Was it 20 or 40? You know, and so he said, so I stopped being a Christian and I became a Muslim. Now, I understand what he's saying, but you know, that's what happens when you don't study the word. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. Okay? You have to study. You know, and some things we don't understand because the Bible says we only know in part. The Bible tells us that. I mean, it tells us we only know in part. You know, so he left Christianity, he became a Muslim. And then there's some other things he and I used to debate about, you know, because you know when you know your stuff, I'm gonna make it. I know the answer, you know. But one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Stop debating against him. He said, stop doing that." You know, I looked around like, "I'm telling you the truth." I thought, you know, I don't hear no voice. I ain't see nobody. He said, "Stop. You don't need to do that." So I stopped doing that. This was like many, many years ago. The reason why I share this with you is because when you read these, when you read Samuel, you think God told David to do something and then God got upset. But how many of you know, I want to go back to Job. Have you tried my servant Job? See, God, listen to what I'm saying. Satan, well, let me say it this way. It makes more sense. Satan can't do any more than God allowed him to do. And a lot of times God will allow him to test us. Now, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say God test us. People say God is just testing me. No, God doesn't test you because he already knows what you're going to make on the test. So why would he test you when he already knows what your score is going to be? Your instructor at school tests you because he wants to see if you've been studying or not. Y'all still with me? So he will allow Satan to test us. Now, why would God want Satan to trip me up? No, he doesn't want Satan to trip you up. He just wants him to test you. You know, and the reason why he allowed him to test us is so we can put our faith in God. Does that make sense? If we put ourselves, our faith in God and trust in him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths, then he know that we will pass the test. That's what we have to study. So, but God allowed Satan to test David. That's what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, I want to go all the way back to 2 Samuel, okay? I mean, 24 Samuel. I'm almost done. So the Bible says, once again, in verse 4, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Listen to this. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, Joab was the captain of David's army, or the commander, if you will, which was with him, David told him to go and count the people. Look at what Joab said. Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my Lord the king may see it. But why do my Lord David, he's talking about David, delight in this thing? What Joab is telling him is this. Listen, God know how many people they have. You don't need to worry about that. What you need to do is obey God and do what God told you to do. Sometimes we try to rationalize with God. We try to figure it out. You don't try to figure it out. Just do what God told you to do. Because God knows the end before the beginning, and he's not going to cause us to do anything to hurt ourselves. But David wants to count. So Joab said, man, you don't do that. How many of you know David did not listen to Joab? He did it anyway. So God's upset with him. I want you to go all the way over to verse 12. Because God spoke to a prophet or a seer, David's seer, named Gad. And he told Gad in verse 12, I'm almost done. He said, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord. He said, because of your sin, because of what you did, I offer three things. He said, I want you to choose one of them. In other words, God's getting ready to punish David. But because of God's mercy, listen to this. I mean, this is how merciful God is. Because of his mercy, he wanted David to pick what he wanted his punishment to be. I mean, I mentioned last week, you know, if God wanted us to pick our punishment, many of us would say nothing. But God said, listen, David, I'm going to deal with you because of what you did, but I'm going to let you pick the punishment. That's what God told Gad to tell David. Now, listen to this. The Bible says, I offer you three things. Verse 13 says, so Gad told David and said unto him, these are the three things. There should be 7 years of famine coming to you in the land, or thou wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue you, or that there be 3 days of pestilence in the land. In other words, he says, make your choice, David. Either there's going to be seven years of famine, you're going to be running from your enemy for 3 months, or there's going to be 3 days of pestilence. Take your pick. Somebody say mercy. I'm almost done. Y'all stay with me. I'm closing right here. Take your pick. Look at what David said. Gad said, now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. David, let me know what you choose so I can go let God know. Because Christians, remember, God talked to the prophets in the Old Testament and the priests. Y'all still with me? And the king. You know, we know David, he spoke to David as well. But in this instance, he went through Gad. How many know we have an intercessor named Jesus? And we can pray to God in the name of Jesus. So look what David said. And David, verse 14, David said to Gad, I am in a great strait. Then he says, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But let me not fall into the man. In other words, David said in so many words, I'll let God choose what my punishment should be. Because he's a merciful God. He's merciful. So instead of me picking, I'll let God choose. Now, God could have chose anyway. But how many of you know about David allowing God to choose his punishment? That was an act of being humble. But he still had to pay for what he did. So the Lord sent a pestilence, 15, upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And Christians, I'm closing with verse 16. You got to see this. If you haven't seen anything else I said this morning, listen to this. Mercy. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to do what? Destroy it. The Lord repented him of evil and changed the people. In other words, the angel was getting ready to destroy all of them. And God, because of his mercy, said, angel, don't do it. That's enough right there. You tell me God is not a merciful God. I don't know. Something's humming. They must be trying to tell me my time is up. Stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. Amen. Come and stop. I guess it knew I was getting ready to rebuke it in Jesus' name. We serve a God who is rich in mercy. Who loves us very much. Does not have to show us mercy, but he will. Why? Because this is the kind of God that he is. The Bible tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? What is that? Is it the keyboard that's humming like that? You know? Yeah. Just mute bus 3, please. It's humming. It just really, really bothers me. It doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're going through, where you are right now. We all sometimes, well, we always need God's mercy, but sometimes we go through things where we need it more than others. God does not want us suffering. He does not want us hurting. He wants us to live a life of peace. The Bible says God shall supply all of our need. God extended his mercy to us because he loves us. Maybe you're going through a situation right now and you are in need of mercy. How do you receive it? Well, you just ask God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, it said, come boldly to the throne of grace. That you will find mercy in time of need. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And the Bible tells us that, once again, he's rich in mercy. Maybe you're in a situation right now that you've been dealing with some things, you've been out of the will of God, and Satan is trying to cause you to be guilty or feel guilt in your heart. The Bible says if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. All you have to do is just repent. Ask for forgiveness. The Bible says the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. Every eye closed into place.